Well, I'd like for you to take your Bible out this evening, and if you would please, why don't you turn to Psalm chapter 37, Psalm chapter 37. Tonight, it's lesson number 21. The series is called Destructive Behavior, or Behaviors, Psalm 37. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to read this verse. We're going to turn to another verse. We'll read it, and then we're going to turn yet to a third verse. So we'll do three verses. I'll read out loud, and then you can just follow along. Psalm chapter 37, and we're going to look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, I'd like for you to turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to find Mark 11, verse number 24. Mark 11, 24. 11, 24. Mark 11, 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, I want you to turn to one last verse. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Listen now, children. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to find verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And the Bible says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let me pray. Father, bless us now. Meet with us. Lord, you know the content of the sermon. I'll need your help. I want everyone to understand. And I pray, God, that tonight you in a special way will get involved and help us all to learn to live the way the Bible tells us to live. Please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about destructive behavior, number 21. The whole lesson is about the subject of covetousness. Covetousness. We have a problem in America. We're extremely dissatisfied. Stay with me. I want you to understand, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, Eve wanted what she should not. And look at what it did to the human race. Pretty destructive, huh? Wanting what you're not supposed to want. We're still paying for it today. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 13, if you all remember, and those of you that don't, let me tell you, Lucifer at one time was an angel in heaven. He was cast out of heaven. But Lucifer was in heaven. Lucifer wanted what he should not want. Cost him quite a bit, didn't it? The destruction that came as a result of Lucifer coveting God's throne. The destruction that came when Eve coveted of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I could take you to story after story after story in the Bible where covetousness, though starting small and in a hidden part of the heart, when it's done, it's devastating. It's destructive. Joshua chapter 7, there's a story of the man by the name of Achan. And the Bible makes it very clear. Achan wanted what he should not want. He coveted. And as a result of it, there was a battle and there were lives lost. And he finally admitted, he said, I wanted something and I wasn't supposed to want it. And it cost him. It was pretty destructive. Now, I really, really want you to listen to me tonight. I am not going to preach a great sermon. I'm not even going to preach a good sermon tonight. But I'm going to enjoy teaching you a basic truth about life. And for some of you, it could be revolutionary if you would just live it. It's about the subject of covetousness. All of you who are basically unhappy people, I want you to listen to me. Those of you who live your life on a roller coaster, one day you're happy, the next you're sad. 1 week you're happy, the next you're sad. 1 month you're happy, the next you're sad. 1 moment you're happy, the next you're sad. Let me put my finger on one of the biggest problems in America today, and it's sad that Christians suffer with this, but they do. The world ought to suffer with it far more, but Christians, they have a difficult time with it. And when I talk about this big thing, I'm not talking about drugs, though that's a problem, and I'm not talking about sodomy or immorality or liberal Christianity or booze. I'm talking about covetousness. It's dissatisfaction. Let me help you to become rich tonight. Being rich is when your haves equal your wants. Wanting what I have makes me wealthy. There are two ways you can accomplish this rich life. Either you can trim your haves to equal your wants, or you can trim your wants to equal your haves. I know of nobody who's wealthier than I am. I don't have a bunch of money, and I'm not trying to get a bunch of money. But there's nothing that somebody else has that I want. There's not a woman on the face of the earth that I want other than my wife. Nobody here has a car that I want. Nobody in this town has a house that I want. You say, well, what do you want? My wife. My car. My house. If you want to be discouraged, want what you don't have, yes, sir. Go ahead. Do that to yourself. If I have all that I want, then I am wealthier than those who have more than me, but they still want more. What's it all about? Well, happiness. There are people that have 10 times more money than me, but they're not happy. What's it all about? What they want. I'm happy. Everybody here that's discontented, and all you discontented people, let this sermon change your life. Young people, especially young people, learn to live your life by the concept that I'll teach you tonight. Now, it gets real simple. Stay with me. I believe in repetition being a key to learning. I'm going to say something, and you're going to say, boy, you just keep on saying that. I know, but you're so thick-headed, I got to say it over and over to get it through to you. Listen very carefully. There are three things, if you will, in this world. Number one, what I have. Number two, what I do not have. But I could. Wouldn't necessarily be wrong. But it's not what I have. Number three, what I cannot have. That's really what everything out there sums up to be. What I have. What I do not have that I possibly could have. And what I cannot have. So remember that. What are you going to do with those three things? It's going to have a lot to do with your dissatisfaction. And before you think we're talking about money, now I'm talking about money, I'm talking about women, I'm talking about men, I'm talking about position, I'm talking about covetousness in general. So let me repeat myself. The very first point of my outline, there are three things in this world, if you will. Number one, what I have. Number two, what I don't have. Maybe I could have it. Wouldn't be wrong. But it's not what I have. Number three, what I cannot have. Okay. Number two. There are three basic attitudes then. Attitude one. To want what I have. And that creates happiness, contentment, satisfaction. To want what I have. Number two, to want what I could have. Remember, I don't have it. I could have it, and it wouldn't necessarily be wrong for me to have it. That's acceptable. But it doesn't produce immediate happiness because I don't have it. Number three, to want what I cannot have. That creates unhappiness. That creates dissatisfaction. That creates discontentment. That creates disappointment. That creates displeasure. It's covetousness. So remember, three attitudes. To want what I have, that'll give me immediate happiness, immediate contentment, immediate satisfaction. Or number two, to want what I could have, but I don't. It'd be acceptable if I had it, but I don't have it, so it can't produce immediate satisfaction. Or number three, to want what I cannot have, which creates all the unhappiness in the world. See, all unhappiness comes from wanting something you cannot have. It's not your possession. And it could be anything that you can't have. It's not just money. See, folks, the happiest people are those who are happy with what they have. I really mean this. I'm happy. There's nothing I don't have that I want. There are some things I could have, but I don't necessarily want them. If I get them, I'll enjoy them, but I'm just as happy without them. I don't have them right now. Now, folks, satisfaction is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. Some of you just need to face it. The problem is not what you have. The problem is your attitude. And you can choose whatever attitude you want. So stay with me. I'm going to repeat myself a lot tonight. You're going to think I've got the starting of Alzheimer's. You're going to think I had the starting of Alzheimer's. Jack, don't laugh so much. Where are you at? I'm cackling back there like a hen laying an egg. You like that, didn't you, Caleb? You're coming next. Okay, point number one. There are three things in life. What I have, what I do not have, what I cannot have. There are three attitudes. To want what I have, to want what I could have, or to want what I cannot have. To want what I have is immediate happiness, contentment. To want what I could have, it's okay, but it doesn't produce anything for me. To want what I cannot have creates my dissatisfaction in life. Point number three. There are three conclusions that I personally draw from that. I want what I have. Secondly, I will accept what I could have. Wouldn't be sinful if I got what I don't have, if it's good for me. If the Lord allows it, and if the Lord provides it, and He wants me to have more, okay, I'll take it. Okay, so remember, I'm to want what I have. I will accept what I could have if it is the Lord that provides it. And number three, I will not want what I cannot have. I won't want it. Folks, I don't know if anybody's told you this. You're not going to get all you want. You're not going to get all you want at work. Teenagers, you're not going to get all you want from your parents. Wives, you won't get all you want from your husbands. And husbands, you're not going to get all you want from your wives. America, you can't have everything you want. You say, why? You just can't. God didn't give you everything. So, you're not going to get all you want. You must learn to want exactly what you have. It's a tragedy that God's people don't enjoy what they have. You could be happy right now if you would choose to be happy. We don't enjoy what we have because we're too busy wanting something else to enjoy. You're so busy taking pictures on vacation that you can't enjoy the vacation. You better enjoy what you have. Did you know what you have right now, somebody else wants it so bad because it'd make them happy. But you want something that somebody else has. This thing of satisfaction, it is a choice. All right? I'm going to repeat myself. There are three things in the world. What I have, what I do not have, and what I cannot have. There are three attitudes. To want what I have, to want what I could have, to want what I cannot have. There are three conclusions. I should want what I have. I will accept what I could have if it's not sinful and God provides it, but I will not want what I cannot have. Number four, there are three things to do. Learn to enjoy what you have. Learn to enjoy what you have. That's the easy part. You say, well, I don't like what I have. Who do you think gave that to you? Who gave you what you have? Well, God did. Would you just look up at him and say, I'm sick of what you give me. Well, he could make it worse. Listen, there are three things that you need to do. Enjoy what you have. Some of you could go home happy tonight. Now, some of you won't. You won't. But you could go home and say, well, I'm going to enjoy what I have. Secondly, do not seek what you could have. And remember, that's that middle stage. If you want what you have, you're going to find satisfaction. Now, don't seek what you could have. If God provides it, okay. But don't seek it. Just go ahead and enjoy what you have. Thirdly, this is going to sound a little different, but listen to it. Do not know what you cannot have. I'm going to explain that. Do not know what you cannot have. Now I'm going to describe that third step. Do not know what I cannot have. Most people spend too much time looking at things they cannot have. We used to call it window shopping. Now you're surfing the web, you know, or looking at a catalog. I said most people spend too much time looking at things that they cannot have. If you don't want to want what you cannot have, it's best for you not to even know anything about it. I'll say it again. If you don't want to want what you cannot have, it is best that you don't know about it. Look, folks, if you make very little money, don't drive through the car lot that sells big money cars. You know, if you've got to drive a basic car this weekend, don't drive through the Maserati car lot. You say, why? You'll hate your car immediately. Some of you set yourself up for depression. Your expectation is so high, and when you don't get what you expect, you're let down. What God wanted you to do is want what you have. So, if you make very little money, don't drive through the car lot that sells the big money cars. Look, don't take Sunday afternoon and drive through the $500,000, $1 million home in the subdivisions. Why? You can't afford that big house. You can barely afford an outhouse. But do you understand you're setting yourself up for disappointment as you educate and you tantalize your wanter with things that you cannot have? So, don't shop for Cadillacs when you got to live off of a moped budget. Don't look at houses with three full bathrooms when you can't afford an outhouse. Don't drive by the most expensive steakhouse in town when really all you can afford is a hot dog. You set yourself up for disappointment.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. America about destroyed herself. And some of you been around long enough. We just came through a terrible economic crisis because America said, "I want it, I want it, I want it. I'm going to have it. I can't afford it, but I'm going to have it." You know how many millions of people lost their homes? You know how many people? Well, we just about upset the total economic apple cart for the United States of America because of our covetousness. And America said, "I'll take what I have," instead of, "I got to have it. I got to have more, bigger houses, bigger cars, more money, better clothes. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. Matter of fact, I'm going to get it no matter what it costs me." Folks, tell me, did we not almost destroy our country? Do we not still owe our tails to China and everybody else because we wanted what we could not afford to have? And we were unsatisfied. Because dissatisfaction is destructive. It's destructive. I'm going to repeat myself. There are three things in this world. What I have. What I don't have. What I cannot have. There are three basic attitudes. To want what I have brings contentment. To want what I could have is acceptable, but there's not immediate contentment. To want what I cannot have, dissatisfaction, depression, disappointment, displeasure, covetousness. There are three conclusions. I want what I have, or I will accept what I could have if God provides it, but I don't have to have it to be happy. Or I will want what I cannot have and be miserable. Number four, there are three things to do. I can enjoy what I have, or I do not seek what I could have. I'll just wait for God. But worst thing I could do is I do not know about what I can't have because I'm setting myself up for disappointment. Now we go on to the next step. Number five. There are three decisions that you need to make. One, be around what you have. Be around your house. Take care of your house. Attend to your house. You know, some of you, you don't like your car, so you don't take care of your car, which makes you not like your car even more. You know, if you decide to like your car, then you would take care of your car and you wouldn't be so miserable in your car. And you don't like your house, so you don't take care of your house, so you're miserable at your house. But if you take care of your house, then you could like your house. You would not have to live with covetousness wanting somebody else's. So, there are three decisions I must make. Number one, be around what I have. Taking care of what I have. Number two, you don't have to flee what you could have. If it's a good thing, if it comes your way, you don't have to run from it. Look, something good comes your way and God provides it, you can take it. You don't have to turn it down if God provides. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So if God gives you something, great, you can take it. But you didn't want it. You didn't need it. You already had what you wanted. And so when you got more, you said, "Woohoo! I didn't even want it. Look what I got." For some of you, it's finally got what I wanted. And the next thing you know, you want something else. Because that's a part of your makeup. Because dissatisfaction is not, it's not in the things. It's in the heart. It's in the attitude. It's in the mind. So, be around what I have. I'll take care of my place. I won't flee from God providing what I could have. Number three, I'd recommend you hide from what you cannot have. Hide from it. Run from it. The more you see what you cannot have, the more miserable you will become. This is why people go into terrible debt. They see it. They really can't have it. So they spend money that they don't have to have what they should not have. They become too familiar with things that they can't have and become discontent with what they do have. And may I recommend, folks, don't hurt yourself by placing what you can't have before you continually. You'll mess yourself up. You men, you adult men, and you teenage boys, I want you to listen to something. And I wish I could have all the men for 15 minutes and say something to you about this, and I'm going to try to word this as cautiously as I can. You go on the internet and you look at pictures of women that you ought not look at, dressed or undressed, and you want that. But you can't have that. Now you've created discontent in regard to what you can have, which is your wife. What are we doing? What are we thinking? Why tempt yourself with what you can't have? What you need to do is want what you have. I need to be around what I have. I won't run from God giving me more if He gives it, but I didn't want it in the first place. I already had what I wanted. But I am going to hide from what I cannot have. I'm going to go on. There are three dangers then. It's dangerous for me to be around what I cannot have. That's dangerous. If I'm around what I cannot have, my flesh is liable to lead me. So danger number one, to be around what I cannot have. Number two, to be around people who have what I cannot have. If you get around people and they're all about things, you get around people, all they care about is their car, all they care about is their bank account, all they care about is their big house, you understand, you become like the people you run with. See, there's a danger if I'm around what I cannot have. There is a danger if I'm around people who have what I cannot have, and they're covetous. You understand, you know, if I said to you all, you know what, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And if I said to you, you don't want to be running around with bank robbers, and you'd say, well, Pastor, I don't want to run around with somebody to rob the bank. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't be running around covetous people all the time. It's almost akin to a bank robber. Why? You will develop the attitude of the covetous person. So, I've got to be careful. There's the danger if I'm around what I cannot have. Secondly, to be around people who have what I cannot have, I'm liable to become like them. And then, this is a bit of a rewording, but I want you to hear it. A danger is when I'm made aware of what I cannot have. When I'm made aware of what I cannot have. Now, some of you are a little older, you're going to pick right up on this. Young people, I'm going to illustrate for you. When I grew up, we didn't have air conditioning. None. Couldn't afford it. We didn't have central air. We didn't have an air conditioning unit in our window. We had a box fan. And if you talk in it, you go, woo, 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 woo. And we didn't have them everywhere. My parents had one in their bedroom, and there was one in the living room. And you shifted from window to window. I grew up, no air conditioning. None of my family had it. None of my neighbors had it. I didn't think I had it tough. I didn't walk through life saying, oh, no air conditioning, no air conditioning. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know to be miserable. I didn't know to be miserable, therefore I was not. I have to tell you, I didn't have anything with which to compare it. So I was happy. You know what, Brother Jason? If I ever got the box fan in my bedroom at night, I was in hog heaven. Woo! Breeze, calm down! I didn't know that that wasn't adequate. Matter of fact, it was adequate. All had to do with my attitude and what I wanted. People are unhappy today because they want what everybody else has. Young married couples, listen to me. Listen to me real carefully. you'll hurt yourself because you, as a young married couple, you want everything that mom and dad has. But could I tell you something? Mom and dad worked to get that for 25 and 30 and 40 years. Now you want it the minute you get married. And so you keep getting what you want and getting what you want and getting what you want, thinking that will satisfy. Before long, you run out of things to want. So you just want somebody else because that could be a good change. You create a dissatisfaction. What mom and dad worked a lifetime for, you want it immediately. I've never owned a new car. I've never gone out and bought a new car. I had a new car given to me. I had a new truck given to me, but I've never bought one. I accepted a long time ago when I went into the ministry, I'll never be able to, on my own, go out and buy a new car. I accepted that. So, you know, when I go buy my own personal car, I was given a staff vehicle once at a church, and they gave me a new vehicle, but I didn't buy it. When I go look, you can ask my sons. My sons love to shop at the used car lots that I find. You say, why? I find the very best used car lot anywhere in an area. That's where I shop. Because that's where my budget allows me to shop. Because I'm happiest there. Because if I go looking at all the new cars, I'm going to want a new car, but I can't afford a new car. Now I could destroy myself and take something that I can't afford. And that's not smart for me. The way I see it, probably I'll go to my grave and will have never bought myself a new car ever. I bought this suit for me. It's a second. It's got a stain on it. But I didn't buy it from a secondhand store. I have never bought myself a new suit. Ever. I buy secondhand. Now, I've had new suits given to me. God gave them to me. This is, and I didn't even remember it, but this had a little, I don't know what, a little bleach mark or something on it. It was in a brand new clothiers, and probably about a $600 suit. I think I gave $19.95 for it because nobody's dumb enough to buy it. I bought it. I said, oh, look at that, a brand new suit. I'll take it. Now, I've had suits given to me. I've had nice suits given to me. But I'll tell you what, I didn't want the new suit. I was satisfied with what I had, but God gave it to me, and it was acceptable, and it wasn't wrong, but I never went after something I didn't think I could afford. Now, I could afford to go buy myself a new suit, but I got to tell you, I a long time ago decided, I think I just want what I have. My boys get upset with me because if they buy me tools, I take my brand new tools, leave them in the package, and put them in the top of my toolbox. And I got these old beat up tools. And my boys are saying, Dad, aren't you going to use the new ones? I said, well, I've got the old ones. Well, Dad, you can't wear that hammer down to a nub. You might as well use the new one. They'll take my tools. They'll come to my house and take my old tools. Say, I'm taking these away. You're going to get the new ones out. They hold my old tools hostage. Do you know how much easier it would be if everybody in this room would decide to be satisfied with what God gave you? Tomorrow you just wake up happy. Amen. It's my house. These are my clothes. My tools. This is the food God gave me. These are my children. These are the ones God gave me. Well, I wish my kids were like so-and-so. Well, they're not. And you can't have somebody else's kids. Now, if God blesses you with more. Yeah, you're saying, no. I'll just take what I have. You convince me. So, three dangers. To be around what I cannot have. To be around people that have what I cannot have with a covetous attitude. And then when I'm made aware of what's out there. Remember, I didn't have air conditioning, and I didn't know what it meant, so I was fine. I didn't grow up poor. You ever heard the story about the guy that, you know, he had to walk to school in the snow, 5 miles to school, 10 miles back, and it was always we didn't starve, but we weren't rich. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I remember my mom took me out, and it was the very first time I got new clothes. She actually bought me some new school clothes. I thought, good, this is
Going to high school is a big deal.
Because we've gone to yard sales and garage sales and hand-me-downs. My mom, she used to take ground beef hamburger, and she'd put it in a gravy, and she called it gravy steaks. And I'm as serious as I could be. My mom would say, "We're having steak tonight." And I'd say, "Oh, man, we're having steak." I'd eat that gravy steak, and my brother, my dad, we're eating gravy steak. I was about 17. I went to a friend's house, and they had a piece of meat. I'm talking about like a ribeye steak, where you got to cut it with a knife. And they put that steak on my plate, and they said, "What do you think of that?" And I took that knife. I said, "Shit." I said, "My mom makes steaks. You can cut it with a spoon." They said, "Wow. Where's ground hamburger and gravy? But Mom told me it was gravy steak." Hey, and up until that day with that piece of steak, I didn't know there was something better. Can I tell you all something? By searching to find out everything out there that you don't have, you may be setting yourself up for discontentment. I want to tell you all something, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I love my church. I don't want anything else. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for anything else. Number one, I don't want what I can't have. But I don't even want anything. You know, I'm not constantly looking for another church. I'm not constantly looking for another opportunity. You say, why? I want Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I want this. I'm happy with this. Your pastor is a happy man in the pulpit. You know, I've had other churches. I've had bigger opportunities when it comes numerically. I'm as happy right now as I've ever been in my life. You say, why? Because I want what I have. I really do. I choose to be happy. I want to be happy. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be discontent. I don't want to be constantly searching. Because you search and you search and you search. Why don't you just find what you have and say, that's what I wanted? Amen. Now, a couple more points and we're done. And they're short. First of all, there are three goals. Don't allow the object to create your desires. Car dealers should not create your desire. Don't let the object create your desires. Let God decide your desires. Look right this way. Let God decide your desires. So, I don't want to allow an object to control me. I want to control me. Can I warn y'all, men, the weather's going to break, the spring's going to hit, and a man can get spring fever. And he wants a new car or a new lawnmower. I have to tell you this story. I was counseling a couple, and we were counseling about their finances, and we'd counseled and counseled and counseled, and they were kind of at each other. And the man said to me, "Well, my wife spent this money, and it was ridiculous, and she should have spent that money." And then she said to me, she said, "Preacher, I'm tired of him thinking it's always me that spends money in a silly way." She said, "Tell him about the mower." And he said, "It's a mower. It's a tool." She said, "Tell him about the mower." So he told me about the mower. Nice riding John Deere. Great big, you know, blade width and everything. And he said, "Man, the seat is all cushy and it's got a radio on it and everything." And I said, "Well, ma'am, what's wrong with that?" She said, "We live in an apartment. We don't even have a yard. We don't mow the grass, Pastor." Yeah, he's ready, just in case. So, I'm not to allow the object to create my desire. I'm to let God create what I desire. And then, third statement. I need to make my wants equal to my haves. Make my wants equal to my haves. Folks, commercials on television and on the internet create too many desires in our families. The TV is telling you what to want. It's telling you what to want. When the object creates your desire instead of the Lord, you're letting an object control your spirit. Don't want what you do not have. Want what you have. Christians ought to avoid the temptation of wants and live in the riches of their haves. I want my youth department. I want my bus ministry. I want my house. I want my car. Now, if God gave me something better, fine. But I'm not sitting on the edge of my seat constantly wanting it. Now, I'm going to give you three scriptures. Then I'll probably repeat myself. And we'll go home. I gave you three scriptures to start the night. Psalm 37:4. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. One of the most... this verse is interpreted wrong about as much as any verse in the Bible. This does not mean that God will give you whatever you want. That is not what it says. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Not what you want, the desires. It means God will give you what you ought to desire. If you will say, God, help me to desire what you want me to desire. God can put in your heart right desires. The word delight there, delight thyself, it means have fun with what Jesus has given you. And then he can put a desire for what is right in your heart. We want something to delight us. Let's let someone be our delight. Let me give you another verse. Philippians 4, we read it earlier. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, God will not give you everything you want. He said here, he will give you what you need. Need. God will determine your need according to his will for you. You should want what you have. That's God's will for your life. He has supplied the need. Be careful wanting beyond the need. So, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Number three is Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You should pray for the things that God wants for you, not for what you want for yourself. Let me say it again. You should pray for the things that God wants for you, not for what you want for yourself. Your prayer is, God, I want this, please give it to me. Our prayer ought to be, God, I want what you want. What do you want for me? And some of you are very disappointed in your prayer life because you pray for what you want. This verse teaches, pray for what God wants for you. That's called praying in God's will. You say, well, I prayed and I didn't get it. Maybe you're not supposed to have it. Let him put proper desires in your heart. When he gives you what he wants, then want it. And then you'll be happy. One sentence kind of sums up the whole sermon. Satisfaction is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. I'm going to repeat myself. There are three things basically in this life or in this world. Want what I have, want what I do not have but could have, or want what I cannot have. Now, there are three attitudes then. To want what I have brings happiness, contentment. to want what I could have, I can't have any immediate contentment there. I wouldn't reject it if it came, but I still want what I have. Or to want what I cannot have, which is for sure dissatisfaction, that's full-blown covetousness. Number three, three conclusions. I need to want what I have. I will accept what I could have if God gives it to me, but I will not want what I cannot have. Point number four, three things to do. Enjoy what I have. Secondly, don't seek what I could have, just want what I have. Number three, don't know about what I cannot have. Because I didn't know to be miserable without air conditioning until I learned about the air conditioning. Number four, there are three decisions to make. To be around what I have so I can enjoy what I have. Secondly, don't flee what I could have. If God gives it to me, I'll take it. Thirdly, I'm going to try to distance myself or hide from what I cannot have, because why set myself up for disappointment? Point number five, the three dangers. To get around what I cannot have is dangerous. Danger two, to be around people who are covetous or people that have what I can't have and their life is all about things, that's going to affect me. And then number three, to be made aware of what I can't have, because I'm better off just enjoying what I have. Number seven, three goals. To not allow the object to create my desires, to allow God to decide my desires, and to make my wants equal to my haves. And all that's taught in Psalm 37:4, Philippians 4:19, Mark 11:24. Eve said, I'm going to look. God had said, don't take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know something? She'd been better off just ignoring the thing then and leaving it alone. She wanted what she was not to have. And the fall of the whole human race came. Lucifer said, I want God's throne. Mr. Lucifer, if you would have asked, I could have told you. If you've got a problem looking at that throne and wanting that throne, don't go look at the throne. You're asking for it, buddy. You can't have that throne. Well, I'll have it no matter what it costs me and millions of people that I'll take to hell with me. Where did that come from? Somebody wanting what they can't have, what they shouldn't have. There was a whole bunch of soldiers slaughtered because Achan said, I want it, I'm going to have it. It's not yours to have, I don't care. Don't you just want what you have? I don't want what I have. I want what somebody else has. It'll make me happy. Did it make him happy? No, it didn't make him happy. You think Lucifer's happy? You think Eve was happy about the mess that her and Adam caused? He said, but that'll make me happy. That's a lie of the devil. Things don't make us happy. God makes us happy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just think through the concept that you've been taught tonight. This is not a lesson that you learn and you walk out and forget about it. This is a life lesson. It's the way one should live. Just take this thought home with you. Decide to want what you have. Decide to want what you have. You say, I can't have steak and eggs for breakfast. You know what? Then wake up tomorrow morning with me and have some oatmeal. Have it all the time. We don't have steak and eggs at our house. Some of you, you're miserable because you don't want what you have. I'm going to ask in a moment the pianist to begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you may come. Father, take what's been said and use it to get glory to thyself. Father, I want to better learn this lesson so much. I have so much to learn about this very thing. Help me to learn it. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, the pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. I just hope some of you will say to yourself, I need to learn to want what I have. Remember, who gave it to you? Who gave you what you have? God. Your dissatisfaction is with God and with what God gave you. Can I tell you something? You say, well, preacher, I'd really kind of like to have more. Can I tell you the best way to get it? Want what you have and let God see you appreciate what you have. Do you know that that's the only way God knows that if He gives you more, that you will be grateful for more? Because if you're not grateful for less, what proof does God have that you'd be grateful for more? So why don't you look up to God and say, God, this is great. Thank you for what you give me. I'm going to want what I have. I think God's more apt to bless. Think about your own children. If you give your child something and they are dissatisfied, they don't want it and they don't like it, but you gave it to them, they say, well, I want something else. Are you in a hurry to say, well, let me just go out and get you something else? No, you'd like them to appreciate what they have because it is a proof that they will appreciate what they're going to get. Expectation is very unrealistic. What I want, what I expect. There's a verse in the Bible that says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. He said, but I don't like the way this day's going. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. But it's not going the way I want it to go. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I want a better day. Your life will get a worse day. Those of you that are moaners and groaners and never satisfied, and you got something negative to say about everything all the time, well, it's about time for you to just look to God and say, God, thanks for what I have. You will go through the rest of your life miserable if you do not learn the truth of satisfaction. Ushers, if you have the prayer bulletins, we're going to need them pretty quickly here. This is the last time through the song.